roll.
Call the meeting to order, please.
Hi, how are you?
Have roll call, please.
Commissioner Gilliland.
Here.
Councilmember Handy Peters is excused. Commissioner Mattousik.
Here.
Commissioner Nevig.
Here.
Councilman Conroy.
Here.
Commissioner Curry is excused. Commissioner McGurk is excused. Councilmember Saylor.
Here.
Commissioner Stowers. Vice Mayor DiLorenzo. Councilmember Ford.
Here.
Vice Mayor Long is excused. Commissioner Revels.
Here.
Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Councilmember Denny's.
Here.
Councilmember Cusack. Councilmember Lowry is excused. Councilmember Wagner. Mayor Emmett.
Here.
Vice Mayor Rogers. Mayor Jennings. Commissioner Shoup.
Here.
Commissioner Burton. Mayor Gibson. Mayor Sal.
Here.
Councilmember Perrone.
Here.
Linda Costello is excused. Heather Blank. Gillis Blaze.
Here.
Bob Stork.
Here.
Gene Ferguson.
Present.
And we have quorum.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm here for Penny Curry. So my name is John Capers. I'm with Holly Hill.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Could everybody please silence their cell phones, their smartphones, or their dumb phones, or whatever phone they have, or just put it on. If your phone rings, we want you to stand up and let everybody enjoy your conversation this morning. We will now have Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Housekeeping item here. Item 5A, Roman numeral 5A, which is the Regional Trails Corridor resolution, is not ready. We're going to move that to the May 27th meeting. I'd entertain a motion to do that.
Motion.
Have a motion.
Second.
Commissioner Saylor. There's a second.
Second
by Commissioner
Nobbick.
I'll get it right. If you're going to move a motion or a second, just state your name when you do that, please. It helps me out. We have a motion to move item 5, Roman numeral 5A, the resolution 2015 adopting the Regional Trails Corridor Assessment. Move that to the May 27th meeting. Is there any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, showing the motion is passed. We have several items on the public comment. And for public comment this morning, Suzanne Barber from New Smyrna Beach. Is Ms. Barber here?
Yes.
Please approach. You will have 3 minutes to speak.
Good morning. We are in a state of confusion somewhat down in New Smyrna because we've been reading in the paper that you all are trying to pass some kind of funding for a feasibility study to pave Page Avenue, which at this time is a dirt road. I've lived there 15 years, and there are quite a few homes in that area which would be adversely affected if that is ever done. Now, I've corresponded with some of the city officials, and Mr. Kirk Jones called me a couple of weeks ago and said that that isn't going to happen until 2040, which I think if you're looking at something 25 years away, I don't understand why you're doing it now. However, if it's not that far away, we do not want that avenue paved. It's hard to say that, too. We are a little rural community down there, and Page Avenue is our only ingress-egress to Corbin Park Road. Now, Corbin Park itself is in a horseshoe situation, and Corbin Park Road is our only exit directly to 44. So what we've had in the past is a temporary traffic jam on weekends when people come to go to the beach or whatever other events there are. That only occurs for a few hours on a weekend usually. And I had requested DOT that possibly we could have a stoplight put at the end of Corbin Park, which would allow us to get out on 44. The nearest one they have now is down where they've opened that new one called the Colony Park Road, which helps somewhat, but still there's a big backup of traffic there. Now, according to what I've heard from the city and the newspapers, you all are thinking of paving Page as an alternate route to 44, which would not work because we're still jammed down in Corbin Park. We still have no other way to get in and out. You're going to go through residential neighborhoods that are of higher class, we'll say, housing and so forth. And it just would not make a lot of sense to do that. So I'm begging you not even to bother the feasibility study unless, and I provided some of you with the one I have done personally, and I went and drove the whole thing and took pictures and all that. And it's just not a feasible idea. Now, the other thing would be to create a beach-only route, which you could do when they're coming from the west to divert them to Pioneer Trail, which converges with 44, just west of 415. And Pioneer Trail goes all the way through and does not go through neighborhoods. It's aside from the neighborhoods. And it comes out right now at Wallace Road, where you could either have them turn right and come back down and get on 44 and then go across the South Causeway. Or if you really want to spend some money and a lot less money, you can make an extension of Pioneer Trail through Enterprise, connect it to the North Causeway. So I'm just providing this for your information, and you won't have to do a feasibility study now because I've done it for you. But I beg you, you know, try to come down there and see what we're talking about. When I left home this morning, I'm on a net road. You come off Corbin Park, the first right is a net, and I'm on a dead end. Okay, you go a little further on the east, and it's Trophy Hunter Road. That's a dead end. Then the old Turnbull Creek is a total dead end because it's been, they had the dirt pushed up against it. There used to be a bridge years ago, but they closed it many, many years ago. Anyway, there were a bunch of kids standing on the other side of Page waiting for the school bus. So it's just a quiet little area. We don't want traffic coming through there, and I doubt very seriously many people would even use it if you spend all that money because it doesn't make any sense at all. All the businesses we need are on 44, and it's only a few days a week that we have the traffic problem. So I beg your indulgence, I guess if you say that, to not even consider spending the money on a feasibility study. Come down there yourselves and see what we're talking about. And I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mrs. Barber. Mrs. Barber, I forgot to get you to state your name and address for the record, please.
Oh, okay. My name is Suzanne Barber, 765 Annette Road, New Smyrna Beach, 32168.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Next up, we have the consent agenda items. Is anything on the consent agenda that wished?
No, but I think there's somebody else in the audience that wanted to speak on public participation, and they may not have.
I only have one request.
There was a lady there in the back.
Ma'am, could you come up and then turn in? Yes,
good morning. I'm from Mary Price. I live on Hidden Pines Boulevard, New Smyrna Beach, about this Page Avenue. You might want to take into consideration, they've done a lot of construction over there, tearing trees down. I have pictures here, the canals are flooding, nobody's addressing that part. You have ecosystem, we have an alligator turtle, The problem we have on 44, you need to address 44. They block the intersections. There's no sign up there stating, you know, not to block it. But before you do anything, you know, you want to tear all these trees down, but these canals cannot handle it. I have pictures here of all the storms we've been having. They've never had floods like they've had now. I'll get them developed and get them to you. But please take that into consideration. You know, you have to have signs up there. You should do something about 44, not DuPage Avenue. This is residential. There are kids out there. They're going to be cutting down there to get to this beach. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else on for public participation? Okay, thank you. Move to consent agenda, item Roman numeral 4. Is any consent agenda item that people would like to pull off the agenda?
Motion to approve, Gilliland.
We have a motion to approve.
Second, Matusik.
Second, and Ms. Matusik. A motion and second on approve the consent agenda items. Is there any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, so the motion is passed unanimously. We have just one action item. It's review and approval of Resolution 2015-10, amending the fiscal year 2014-15 to 2018-19 Transportation Improvement Program. Lois, would you?
Thank you, Chairman Patterson. There are just a couple of changes to the package that's included in your agenda that I'd ask you to go ahead and consider, and that is, first of all, if you're looking at the resolution, item 1B, which is the Seminole Woods Trail, further discussion between the project sponsor and DOT identified that the local match is actually a lower amount than what was included in the item on the agenda packet, and there is a handout at your locations that specifies that, and so that's been corrected to reflect the correct local match, which is a smaller amount than was included in the TIP amendment in your agenda. Item 1E is the Lake Harney Bridge, and this is a bridge that a project request that came from DOT, but it is a Volusia County maintained and owned bridge, and this particular item would require a funding match. Volusia County is not prepared at this point to provide that funding match, and so this item really is just not ready to be acted on by this board until that's resolved. And then finally, item 1L, which is the VOTRAN Section 5339 funds. In the agenda packet, those are shown in fiscal year 15-16. They should be in the current year 14-15. So I'd ask you, your motion, include those changes.
Motion to approve those changes. Get on
land. Okay. Any questions? We have a motion.
Second, Matusik.
Second, and I'm just going to say.
Discussion.
Discussion? Well, let me see if there's any questions. Any questions?
Yeah.
You have a question?
Okay. Question.
Please.
On the Seminole Woods Trail, was it always, what was the reason for deferring? And
the actual TIP action. Bob, the request to defer was from?
Yeah, there were some minor things that the city had to take care of before it would be ready to program, so. It was not ready for the current year, but
okay.
We will
so
get a program.
So it's on the city's end, not, okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Any other questions?
It's rather important to note that these funds are coming from your fiscal 15 box. None of these funds are actually coming out of your funds available for 2016, because it will still be completed in federal fiscal year 2015, which ends the end of September. Thank you.
That was DOT, Mr. Ferguson. Pardon me?
I'm sorry. Is this not working?
I'm hearing it.
Okay. But anyway, I was just making the point that there is no disruption to the programming of new projects in 2016 as a result of this deferral. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Any discussion? I have a motion and a second to approve the Resolution 2015-10, amending the fiscal year 2014-15 to 2018-19 Transportation Improvement Program. Is there any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, so the motion to approve is passed unanimously. We have several presentations here. The first one is a presentation on SunRail service. I believe we have the Honorable Deputy Secretary, Secretary Noreen Downs. Secretary Downs, please, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and board members. I am Noreen Downs, DOT Vice Secretary, Connie O'Rourke. I'm a partner in crime, and we've been working on this project 12 years. And I'm happy to say this train's been running about a year, and we've almost had our one-year anniversary. The map that you see right now shows the whole 61 miles that the five funding partners, along with DOT and Federal Transit Administration, has worked on and bought. And so we are dispatching the whole 61 miles, the area in the blue. The first 30 or so miles is the active 12 station section that we've been running for almost a year. To the south is Phase 2 South, and then Phase 2 North, we're going to talk about a little bit later. We did have our grand opening April 30, 2014. And it was on time and on budget. Revenue service, as you can see in this particular slide, you can see from May all the way to this past March of our ridership. One of the things that we've noted, this is a commuter rail, so it's primarily made for commuters Monday through Friday, and they're in peak service in the morning, in the afternoon, and off peak in between and at evening. What we've noticed is on Fridays in particular, and when kids are out of school, people take the train. They like to enjoy it for their free time as well. And so that is added to the traffic. So Mondays are usually the slowest, and Fridays are usually the busiest. A lot of people go downtown Orlando, Winter Park, eat, come back, and go to the venue. So we're right on target pretty much. 4,300 is the goal for the first year. And there you can see the ridership trends that I just talked about. Here you can see the dips. The dips are when the kids are back in school and people are busy.
We did add a later night evening service. A lot of folks actually get on the train at DeBerry on Fridays and throughout the week and ride it into downtown Orlando. So we did add a later night train, and that later night train is actually doing pretty well. With, as Noreen said, it's our busiest is on a Friday, as you would imagine, with Mondays being the slowest. Our on-time performance is exceptional. Anything above 90% is really good for a transit system. We're at over 98% on-time performance. That shows that our folks that were reliable, you can take the train and know when it will be there and when you'll be home. We're doing a lot of marketing and business outreach, a lot of businesses to get people, especially with I-4 starting, to get people from their places of work over to our stations. So we're doing a lot of business outreach. We do have our May 1st is our birthday, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. We do also have billboards on I-4, and our billboards tell you that Sunset Rail trains are on time. So as folks are sitting in I-4, they can see that our trains are running on time. That is tied into our network, so if we have a little bit of a blip, we don't have that often, then that'll change out to another message. A lot of folks are using the train to get to our downtown venues, including Solar Bear Games, Magic Games, and we've got a agreement with the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center. They're putting on flyers in all of their performance books about taking the trains downtown. As I said, we've teamed with the Orlando Chamber, and we're doing a lot of business lunches to get folks moved over from I-4 as construction continues. You've probably all heard a lot about our ambassadors. We do have them out. We actually funded them through August and then took them away and brought them back in November. And so we've got them funded for another year. They help our new passengers on the platform make sure everybody's ticketed. Any questions that they have about our service, and our ambassadors are there. We've done onboard surveys. We've done surveys at the downtown towers. Pretty well, we're doing pretty well. Of the people surveyed, they like our staff. They think the trains are clean. They think they're reliable. Some things that we continue to work on is our transportation to and from the stations.
We're also working with corporate shuttles. We have a lot of private shuttles being funded by the businesses. We actually have five vans that are at our Sunrail station and Sand Lake. Darden Restaurants funds a van. We have two going to Lockheed Martin and South Park, and so we're in discussions with also with the folks at Maitland to get some that last mile connectivity. And as I said, we are birthday's coming up on May 1st, so please come out and join our birthday celebration. We will be giving free tchotchkes, no free rides that day. We tend to get overwhelmed when we have free. Yeah, and you have a pin at your table of our first year anniversary, and we've got lots of celebrities riding the trains that day. So if you can, come out and ride the trains with us on Monday and help celebrate with us. We've had a lot of successes and some challenges in our first year. It's not easy getting a train up and running, and it's certainly not easy burning it in for the first year. But I think with all of the help from all our local partners, it really, I don't think anybody can say it hasn't been a success. Not sure what the community would do without Sunrail at this point. So we continue to burn in the system. We had our first customer advisory committee meeting about 2 or 3 weeks ago to help us sort of get through and help us improve our service. Phase 2 South and Phase 2 North, as the secretary said, we do want to round out that 61 miles. We are on schedule to get a full funding grant agreement for Phase 2 South, which expands our service 18 miles to Point Siena Boulevard to the south, and that should be up and running in 2017. And for Phase 2 North, which adds an additional station in DeLand, we are looking to get funding. We've got a Tiger 7 funds that we're going to be putting an application in for, and we're looking at other federal funding sources and want to have that funding in place by the end of this year.
And we're also designing, so we don't lose any time, we are designing to 60% plan so that we could go for a design build once we know how we do with the Tiger grant. And also looking at supplemental funds called congestion mitigation funds due to I-4, that would be FHWA funds that you could supplement with whatever we couldn't get from Tiger. Because FTA is looking at this last piece going to DeLand as a separate project, that does not allow them to go for anything like a full funding grant agreement. And so being the applicant and not the owner, we can't argue with that. We go for what they say we could go for, which is a Tiger grant.
And the last project that we're looking at this point, Phase 3, well, we also have the Volusia County Connector project that we're also doing, but Phase 3 to the airport, Metroplan Orlando has made it their priority to come off our mainline spur and get to the Orlando International Airport. And right now we're looking at preliminary concepts for that and moving forward with the environmental documentation starting in July. And with that, we'll take questions.
Any questions? Commissioner Matusik, questions?
I'd just like to thank you, Tawny, and DOT for coming and doing that presentation in DeLand at the Sanborn Center. It was very well attended, and the purpose was for the alternatives analysis, but those people were there to want to know about the DeLand station and where that is, and everybody was well-versed with all the information, and everybody settled down from there, so thank you. One of the concerns, though, I have is if I understood some of the problems with the north end was the numbers of ridership. It was 200 and something people that they feel will be riding. I believe those numbers came from 2010, and that was at the height of the recession. And maybe to help somehow to look at redoing those numbers of what current numbers would be instead of 2010, because a lot's happened in DeLand. We have a lot of building going on, both residential and commercial projects. I know the job market and our people employed has grown. Frontier Communications wasn't at the point where they are now with people. They're just getting ready probably to expand. We've got DaVita coming in with their worldwide headquarters. So we've got a lot going on that we didn't have in 2010. So I don't know what the cost or how riderships are done, but maybe an update might help on that just because of what we've got going on.
Yeah. And when they looked at the whole complete system for the whole 61 miles, even, you know, they had the ridership numbers then, and they still find the land a viable, you know, they wouldn't have allowed us to move forward with that as part of the whole 61 miles. So really it's more of a funding. I mean, the end zone, which is more rural than downtown Orlando, obviously, but it's still suburban, is going to have initially perhaps less ridership. But based on the data that we have, and we know that people like to travel to and fro, and it's not just for commuters, that station's going to be busy as well. It's DeLand is a destination point as well. People love, who wouldn't like downtown DeLand? And so we're anything that they want, we will be working on, and so far they haven't brought that up as an issue, I don't think, have they? No.
Well, it was in the paper. In reference to ridership was one of the issues that I had, you know, that I had read. So,
right, which is not the case, actually. It's just you could never qualify for a full funding grant agreement based on one piece of a 61-mile project. So it's really in how FTA looks at it.
Well, and breaking it out, I think that's where that number came in. So just a suggestion, because of the timing of the original ridership numbers and what we have going on now are not the same.
And just as a, the ridership analysis using the FTA model sort of constrains the model very, very tightly. For example, DeBary, which is our heaviest station, that was supposed to be 250 in 20-year forecast. We're well over 500 every day, which is causing us to actually do an expansion lot at DeBary. So what happens is they constrain the model for 5 miles around those particular stations, and then they constrain it. In the case of DeBary, nobody would cross over I-4 to get to the DeBary station, and that's what's happening with Deltona folks, are actually bypassing I-4 coming to DeBary. So we can run the model again. It's just the problem is with those constraints that are put on it, but we can open the model up to see really what happens, but we just have to juggle with what FTA requires and what we really think is going to happen.
Well, and we're just proud of what is going on in DeLand with, you absolutely know, with building and job creation.
Yeah,
and I think if you look at and talking to Frontier, they employ people from every single city in this county, plus 8 different counties also come there. So they've got to get there, you know, in some direction.
Yeah,
any other questions? Commissioner Sager?
Heather Blank from, oh, sorry.
I don't know who went up. Go ahead.
Heather Blank from the TCC. I did want to make sure everybody understood that in recognition of the tight time frames for getting the preliminary information into the Tiger Grant, a motion was made at the TCC and supported for the TPO to send a letter of support to FDOT Secretary Downs on this particular effort for phase two to land.
Ron will go, and then we'll go to Commissioner Perron.
She just mentioned what I was concerned about, what we could do to help get this Tiger Grant through, because to me it's a very key item as we're looking through the series of meetings we just went through of the expansion of the east-west corridor. If we don't get that problem completely resolved and something going, we're not going to get to our next step in the whole progress. So I just wondered if the TPO could take and get a resolution to support them.
That before the executive committee.
Just a comment on things that were touched on, in the sense that everybody's looking at commuter rail at getting people to Orlando. I took early retirement and came down here 11 years ago, and I looked at employment in the area, and I was finding that the job offers that I was going on interviews were in Altamonte Springs and Maitland. What used to be bedroom communities of Orlando are no longer just bedroom communities. I can imagine if there was you know, serious employment 11 years ago, how these areas must have grown since then. DeLand Station isn't just servicing Orlando. It's getting people to work in the intervening communities as well. Also, I just have to say this, having grown up and worked in New York City, I mean, just study the subway system that went into the, you know, in the early 1900s, putting them in areas that probably would be considered today farmland. And then in the 10, 15 years later, you had, for that time, the 1920s, modern apartment buildings going up within walking distance of all those stations. So using the discussion that, oh, there's not enough people in DeLand, I mean, the opportunity there for explosive growth, commercial and residential, is unparalleled. You put a station there and it's going to happen.
Okay? Yes, all right. We agree.
Thank you. Lois?
Quickly, back to Commissioner Saylor's point, I believe the time frames for submitting the Tiger Grant would occur before this board meets again. And so if it would be consistent with previous actions, if I could get direction to at least provide perhaps a letter signed by the chair in support of the Tiger Grant applications and any other funding applications that they submit.
We have a motion by Commissioner Saylor.
Second.
Seconded by Councilwoman, I'm sorry, Tusek. Motion and a second to have the chair sign a resolution or of support for the Tiger Grant or SunRail. Is there any discussion, any debate, any objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, show the motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, the status update on State Road 417 to I-95 connector study. Ms. Bowenbach, do you have a report for us on that issue?
I do have some news. I don't have all the news. You all recall that we've been talking about this project. There has been some funding set aside by Congressman Mica to conduct follow-up study activity on a road that would connect I-95 to State Road 417. And my earlier discussions with DOT on this project seemed to indicate that we would go through the Central Florida Expressway Authority to do that study. But in a conversation I had with Frank O'Day last week, he informed me that that section of 417 that is in Seminole County is actually a turnpike road. At the county line, it changes over to the Central Florida Expressway Authority. Now, the Expressway Authority has authorization to operate in Seminole and not Volusia. And so the process for requesting action by the Central Florida Expressway Authority is a resolution by Volusia County asking them to do study activity in this area. I have reached out to the Turnpike Authority, and I haven't received a response yet on whether they would be willing to go ahead and move forward with this, and if so, what process we need to follow to make that request formally. I think it's important for us to have that information back and some response back from the Turnpike Authority, and the reason I say that is the original request that had gone to Volusia County to utilize the follow-up funding, the $719,000, came along with a request for a local match. Now, local match dollars are not required because of the funding source, but I think the scope of services that they were looking at following would require additional funds, and they were looking for local match funds. And I don't think any local agency has indicated that they'd be willing to provide local match funds. We have no dollar amount for that. So at this point, both the city of Deltona and the cities of Edgewater have passed resolutions requesting that Volusia County Council provide a request to do the study. They indicated in the resolution that they would like a letter of support to move forward with a study from this board. But again, there still seems to be some uncertainty as to the appropriate agency to conduct the study, whether it would be the Turnpike or Central Florida Expressway Authority. Again, to reiterate, the Expressway Authority indicated that they would be willing to do the study if requested, and they would
develop a scope that's consistent with the amount of money available. I don't have any response yet from the Turnpike Authority if that is the entity that we need to work with.
Questions, Mr. Conroy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to acknowledge one of my colleagues is in the audience today, Christine Power, one of the district council people in support of this conversation. And I also, I guess we have to acknowledge that this is a timely thing also, isn't it? Because that money could go away. Maybe not, maybe we don't know, because a new federal transportation bill comes out next month. And if we wait, it could be gone. So we've been told that it usually won't, it will stay in there, but why take a chance? Can we move forward on trying to get that money? I mean, we are a planning organization. Any funds on the table, we should be taking. We shouldn't wait and hesitate, because what if we wait for the turnpike or expressways clarification, what they want to do, and then we don't have any money?
And again, if this board is ready to provide a letter or take a position on this, then that would be fine. But what I've been told clearly from the Expressway Authority, the Central Florida Expressway Authority, is what they require is county council action. So,
but would we, as the planning organization here, could, like you said, some communication? So could I make that in form of a motion?
If you'd like to direct a letter, or if the chairman would like us to
send
a letter
requesting. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we direct communication to the appropriate agencies to get this going.
Second by the city of Deltona.
What agency do you want to send it to everybody?
Everybody.
Right.
Because in just more, just let me just explain one more thing, sir, if I could. You know, I sat in on the long-term planning meetings. And one of those things that really piqued my interest was between 2020 and 2040, 85,000 more residents in Volusia County are projected to be here. And most of them in southeast Volusia because of Farmington and restorations. So we like to stay in front of the curve here, I would assume. We'd like to do that. We don't have problems. We have to try to play catch up. So that's one of the things I think you really have to take interest to about the future and moving towards that.
Is that included in your second to that?
Yes.
Chris?
I have a question about the motion. So everybody is county, expressway, and turnpike, those three?
Okay, we have a motion. Any questions on the motion? Questions? The motion being to send a resolution of support to the Volusia County Council, the Turnpike Authority, and Expressway Authority to see if somebody wants to take this project on. We have a second on the motion. Is there any other discussion? Any debate on the motion?
I have some discussion, Mr. Chair.
Councilwoman Toussaint.
Thank you. I don't object to sending letters of support, but I think that it's not defined in any way as to who will sending this to, and what would be the content of that letter as to what we're proposing. So maybe we could have some dialogue, because I'm not there as to what you would be expecting from the county council. That's other than a letter that says we support the study. Is that what you're looking for?
I think the letter is not only our support of the study being done, but asking one of the agencies to be either the county or the Turnpike Authority, the Expressway Authority, to do the project, you know, to apply for the funds and to hire whoever it is they take. That's how I understand this, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any other questions? Discussion? Councilwoman Dennis?
Just a point of discussion here. I think what we're all dancing around is who's going to fund it, and that's what nobody wants to talk about, because the dollars just very genuinely aren't there. However, that being said, are you represented on the Transportation Committee, the Elected Leaders Roundtable? Has this been brought up there? your cities are attending that, and this has been brought up to the elected leaders around the table, on the transportation committee. Okay. Because I don't know what the outcome of that's going to be, but these are the type of issues that we need to keep in the forefront, especially for that particular committee, and whether or not a sales tax gets put on the referendum for 2016. This is a type of project, if we really want to look going forward, that we might want to look at to be funded. So I just want to make sure that there's a very broad approach here in the request, and to make sure that the discussion is occurring at all levels.
Okay. Lois, there's $719,000. Is there a match required?
The fund source doesn't require a match. HPP dollars, high priority project dollars, don't require a local match. But again, I think the original request that had come along with this did request a local match. Again, that's why I say I still would feel more comfortable getting a response back from the Turnpike Authority, if they're the ones that are going to do the study, that they would be comfortable generating a scope within the amount that has been set aside.
Yeah.
The Central Florida Expressway Authority answer was yes, we could. And I think in general, you know, if you think about this project, we remember what happened the first time around. There was a lot of public outreach. There was some look at environmental. There were a lot of things that drove a project cost up. I think probably the initial refresh of this would just be updating some of the modeling assumptions and seeing whether the gap between the cost of this project and the revenues that would be received would get any smaller. And if it doesn't appear that that gap is decreased, then there wouldn't be a reason to look out and do any more detailed study. If it looks like the gap has decreased and it might be a little more financially viable, then we would have to move forward with a full-blown PD&E. We would expect to see this project as a part of the long-range plan in order to make that clear to the department.
What? And also, speaking to this issue, this was addressed. I would be remiss. I want to thank Secretary Downs for attending, too. We had a transportation summit, and Lois, thank you also, representing the TPO in Southeast Volusia, and Commissioner Navick was there, as was Edgewater, New Smyrna, and Oak Hill. And this was one of the issues we discussed at the transportation summit there. So it's getting a lot of discussion. It is recorded in multiple meetings with a lot of support, so that's to be noted. I guess my question on the funding was what you just addressed, Lois, is if we're going to do it within the parameters, there's no issue. But it's my understanding that this is probably going to be a little more comprehensive, and then should there be a gap, where that funding stream is going to come from. So let's just make sure we know what we want to look at. Thank you.
All right, we have a motion that has been seconded to... I'm sorry, Mr. Matusik.
Lois, hasn't this been looked at and before and rejected, and this money's just been sitting there to rejuvenate this project? Because
since the original study, the money was set aside shortly after completion of the original study, just over a decade ago, back in 2002 and 2003. And it has been brought up over the years, and there hasn't been local interest to move forward. The one thing I would at least put out there, though, for consideration is, as Commissioner Conroy pointed out, Farmington's been approved, restoration's been approved. On the flip side, there's SunRail, I-4 is being widened to 10 lanes, and 415 has been widened and extended to the 417. There have been many, many changes in Southeast Volusia that would impact the projections that came along with this project.
But when we started talking about the money again, if I understood the conversation, it was just looking at a connector from Edgewater to Deltona, not necessarily a turnpike project to connect over as well. I'm trying to figure out what is being looked at and wanted.
You bring up a very good point that is important to clarify, and we've had a number of conversations about this. The money that was set aside does not require that it be a toll facility. Doesn't require it be a limited access toll facility. But the Department of Transportation has been pretty clear. They are not going to be able to build projects like this unless they are tolled. So the current DOT policy is that this would have to be a toll facility. The other question has to do with the endpoints. That is very clear and is not subject to change. The endpoints have to be I-95 and State Road 417. So I know there is interest in extending 442 across the county. That's a project that would be discussed and dealt with under the long-range planning process. That is not this project. Now, when this is revisited, again, because 415 has been extended during the refresh process, there may be a recommendation that comes out of that that indicates that that might be a viable consideration to proceed with or to look at in the future. But that's not going to be analyzed as a part of this because that's not what this funding is for. Does that address that?
I just wanted to make clear.
But the $719,000 is the tip of the iceberg on this whole project. I think originally when the $719,000 was proposed years ago, that was probably adequate to cover it. But since then, and it's been, about 20 years, it's quite a bit more. So the scope of the project would be very limited with $719,000. Now, it's kind of hard to imagine that, but that's what it was. I know 20 years ago when I was on the council, county council, there was talk about a toll road or a toll authority, expressway authority in Volusia County. And that didn't go over very well with many people at the time. But so it kind of waned, and so we're back at where we are. And I want to thank Congressman Micah's office for recognizing that there's money there on the table if we want to do something. I don't have a problem going forward with this motion, I think we're going to be unpleasantly surprised when we find out that it's a lot more detailed and a lot more expensive than $719,000. And there may be some objections to spending that money just to be spending $719,000. I'll let you close on your motion and we'll take a vote, okay?
Thank you, sir. Well, Lois, couldn't you agree that just a communication to the Turnpike might have them come up with an answer a lot faster? We're showing that we're interested, we want to go forward, and you're sitting back waiting for their answer, but us sending them communication might speed up the process. And I recognize all those figures, I understand all that, I appreciate it, but just moving forward and letting those organizations know, this is what we want to move to, this is what we need, this is what people want. That's my whole intention today.
I don't think that it hurts or does anything to slow it down. I can't tell you, a phone call should be fairly quick, but again, this will certainly put the weight of the TBO board behind it and make it clear that we're serious about pursuing it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to a resolution of support for a letter to the various county council, expressway authority, turnpike authority for the connector study. Is there any other debate? Is there an objection to the motion? Any objection? Without objection, so the motion passes. Moving up next, we have a presentation on the 2040 Long Range Transportation Plan Trend and Modified Land Use Alternative by Ms. Martha Moore. You are recognized, Ms. Moore.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank the DOT for showing up there. Let's all notice them as they leave.
I didn't think my presentation was that boring, but I managed to run them off.
That's a sign to us, Martha.
I'll make it short, sweet. This is an update on our modeling process. This, we've spent over a year now
developing land use data sets, looking at where people are going to live, work, shop in the future in the year 2040. And now we're moving into the modeling phase. And normally when we mention traffic models, I know Lois gave me a side eye during one of the presentations about, oh, it's the models, you know. It's where people's eyes tend to glaze over. But we take the Central Florida Regional Planning Model. We develop two socioeconomic data sets. That's a fancy way of saying we look in the year 2040. We have a trend data set, which says where are people historically, where have they lived, where have they shopped, where have they worked. We just followed that trend. And then we developed a second data set, our alternative land use, that took another look and thought, which corridors within the TPO's boundaries would be more receptive to having, you know, in more intensive transit, more intensive development that could support that transit. So those are our two data sets that we use to run the two model scenarios. They're actually being run as we speak. We have what we call the highway only and the transit alternative. So back at our last land use transportation subcommittee meeting, LRTP subcommittee, there was an initial run of the model done. We looked at where there's going to be deficient roads, where the model projects that'll be. And now we're looking at improvements in these two sets. The transportation trend, like I just described, we have put in all of the existing plus committed projects, those that are already funded. You know, we put those into that 2040 model. We also used all the CIS projects. We did a call for projects from the cities, the county, to see which projects they'd like to see put into the model. So again, we put in the Volusia County Public Works Strategic Roadway Plan. And then also those developer-funded projects with Farmington. And that model is being run today, so we'll see what the road network looks like when that comes out. For the transit alternative, we included all those highway projects, but we also added route enhancements, new transit routes that are based on the TDP, the adopted TDP for VOTRAN. And then we added a service between Flagler and Volusia County along A1A and US 1. And then that model is being run as well to see where the projects would come out of that, what the road network would look like. We're going to present the results of those models on Monday at our land use LRTP subcommittee. And then we'll develop draft projects list, and we'll be bringing that forward to you after that. And that is my update.
Any questions? Lois, I'm sorry.
Just one quick follow-up. This is really important activity for this TPO and for all of you, and it comes back to Councilmember Denny's discussion. There's also a roundtable discussion going on about the highest priority and important projects for all of you locally. We are, through this process, developing our draft long-range plan, that list of projects that gets funded in this area. All of your staff have had opportunities to provide projects to be placed on this list. It's where we start the discussion, and at the next board meeting we'll be talking about the draft list and how that's shaping up. We have the long list of needs, and then we decide based on our revenue forecast how much of that long list we can fund. So there requires a little bit of prioritization as well. So I would just remind you that this is important. If there are projects that you are interested in, please make sure you know from your staff whether or not they've been submitted. We will go ahead and send out the project list that we have that has been developed through that subcommittee for you all to take a look at. And if you don't see a project on there, I would encourage you to get with your staff and to call us.
On the website.
It's on our website now, but we'll go ahead and email out that link so that it's pretty clear to you. But you're going to want to look at that list and make sure that the projects that are important to you all and to your future are being reflected in the work that we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moore.
Thank you.
Next update on transit development design guidelines. Ms. Bowen,
Well, good morning. Heather Blank with Votran. I'm here to introduce Ms. Paula Baez, who is working with us on this project. It's the update of the transit development design guidelines that were published in 2008. So I'll let Paula go ahead with her presentation.
Good morning. As Heather said, I'm a senior project manager within the Lolly Byrne Associates, and we're very excited to be working in the update of the Transit Development Design Guidelines. This document is a very useful tool that can be used by government officials, citizens of Volusia, as well as developers and designers, as it provides a guidance on how to integrate transit projects, transit access, accessibility into every transit project. As we mentioned, the standards were last created and adopted in 2008, and since then there's been many different factors that have warranted the update of this document. Some of the factors are the New Americans with Disabilities Act regulations, new trends in roadway development, the update of the FDOT Accessing Transit Handbook. There's been major updates on Voltron Transit Development Plan, and development and redevelopment has increased. SONREL has been implemented, and there are other premium transit studies underway in Volusia County. The existing guidelines right now have the following components. They have project thresholds, a development review checklist. This is a very neat tool that can be used by municipalities to evaluate how well the proposed development takes into consideration the accessibility of transit vehicles, as well as the accessibility to transit services. And also helps them determine when it's time to involve Voltron in the entire process for permit applications. It also takes into account land use considerations, residential, retail, office, and mixed use land use principles, vehicle characteristics, roadway design, classification of transit stops, bus stop seating and design. We're trying to update this document in order to meet not only state standards, but as well as be compliant and in the same page with federal standards. And to make this process valuable, we are reviewing ordinances and current land development codes for Volusia County and the municipalities. We're hoping to meet with city and county staff regarding development processes, plans and design guidelines. And we're hoping to have roundtable discussions with community stakeholders. And we have also developed a survey, which Heather was kind enough to put in everybody's desk. This is in order for us to try to get your input, as well as other stakeholders and other groups that are finally going to be the users of this document. We want to make sure that this document addresses all your needs and can be a good guidance. So we want to know what you want to see in this document, what we may have missed before and you need more guidance on. So we want to make sure, we're hoping to get comments on these questions by the end of the month, and we're hoping to launch this in SurveyMonkey at the beginning of next month. So if you think those questions are going to give us the guidance necessary on that need to be included in this update, or as well as if you think that we're missing some things that we needed to add, we're hoping to hear from you and update this and make this a good resource for us to proceed on the next steps on our update. Our anticipated results and outcomes are the update of the Volusia County Transit Development Guidance based on the needs and staff and stakeholder input to update these regulations and guidelines. We're hoping to integrate design guidelines with the transportation impact analysis guidelines that are also being updated. And we're hoping to incorporate crime prevention through environmental design principles, develop draft for review by county and city staff, of course. And what we're looking for, to summarize from you and other committees, is we want to know what are some of the major issues that need consideration during this process. What are some of the elements that should be included in the update process? What are some barriers to coordination that should be considered in the process? And how can we create cohesive integration of the updated standards and designs for transit services into developing and redeveloping areas? With that, here is Heather's information, as well as LeSean Barnett. She's a senior project manager with Tina Loriber. She's the project manager for this effort. And you also have my information, Paola Baez. So with that, do we have any questions?
Commissioner Patuzzi.
Heather, has this gone out to the city staffs or the TCC to to review? Because if I don't have it electronically, I was going to send it to our assistant city manager to look at.
What we've done for each of the committees of the TPO that have met during this month is we have made this presentation and provided this hard copy. And what I was thinking after this particular meeting was to send the electronic version as a reminder.
Of the draft.
So that anybody who would have comment could either comment back directly electronically to us, or further, you know, forward it to those that you would like to have see it. So we can certainly do that directly after this meeting.
And just state it that it's a draft, and
yes.
that would help me tremendously. Thank you.
Councilwoman Minnings.
I guess I understand the I do understand the requirements of bureaucracies and reports and surveys. But this is VOTRAN. There's one question that I didn't see on here, and I can tell you with my constituents in my district, are there enough stops? I mean, when we're looking at VOTRAN, this is a bus service. This is for the citizens. I can tell you very genuinely, not one of these questions in practicality of my service area, I'll just leave it that way. I know two specific stops that would like to be added, so I don't even know that. Is this going to be just for elected officials? And this isn't going out to the public. Is it?
Those are really good questions.
Yeah,
those are really good questions. May I have a moment and
please,
like to help to understand the context.
An exercise in futility and bureaucracy. Very honestly,
okay.
I'm like, what the heck are we doing?
Okay.
Hold on a second. Actually, question number 18 on here kind of addresses to what she's talking about, which is there any other areas of interest were not mentioned in the survey. So I think kind of takes care of that question there.
No, I'm not really, Mr. Patterson, but let's go.
Let me give you the context. And I understand completely what the question is about. This is really, what we're doing is looking at how all of us in the community participate in defining what transit needs there are and how to incorporate them into the system through our design efforts, through our planning efforts. And in terms of the question about what people would want to see as more stops, those are the kinds of things that will come out in another approach, which is community public involvement for the transit development plan, which is a VOTRAN activity to determine what the community's needs are at the very specific level of individuals who would be interested in using transit. Certainly accessibility will be identified. Accessibility to transit is something that we're considering in the transit design guidelines. And the things that come up in the transit design guidelines are spacing of stops, et cetera. And if there are these specific community interests that will be identified by the planners in your community, that's definitely the type of information we would be seeking.
Well, I think it's not even spacing the stops. It's location of stops. Not that the spacing really isn't the issue. It's the specific locations. And
sure.
Then we'll go to the next. The emails at volusia.org, and I believe the only one funding VOTRAN is Volusia County. So if we're going to do this whole process, which is where we were, what, 6 months ago, is there going to be another funding stream identified to help support this with the expansion? Because you know there's going to be expansion.
This is to do with, this particular effort is to do with designing the guidance and standards that we have to work towards achieving in the roadside design, more or less. So it's really directing questions to individuals representing the city government, and those individuals could be consultants that participate in city government planning efforts and make applications for construction of projects, and allowing them to understand when their projects have to come to VOTRAN to get some advice and guidance on, well, there is a stop near to you. This is going to cause increased ridership at that specific location, and at that specific location, you will have to adjust the stop because of these things in particular, perhaps the way your access to the property is going to affect the existing stop there, and we want you also to make the adjustments in a way that is completely consistent with ADA federal as well as state guidance, which is a considerable investment perhaps for the particular developer, and that should follow the developer as opposed to the actual permitting agency, the city or the county. So these are the types of guidelines that we're developing.
I understand that, but I do know the conversations and sitting in my council chambers and conversations and policy and looking for funding streams. This looks good on paper. Implementation is going to be another piece. That's all I'm going to say about it, but I'm going to be watching it going forward. We'll see where we are. I wish it was that easy. It's not, and at the end of the day, should all these conclusions come out, I don't want it sent back to the county council and say, here's where we're all in agreement, go fund it.
That's not the intended outcome. This is not intended to lay on the ground a path of what this. The outcome will not be the identification on the roadway or the identification of additional routing. I think that's where you're going with the line of question. Am I understanding?
Well, I guess that's what I thought transportation was or is.
Let's wrap this up.
I'll have this conversation.
I'll have it set aside.
Yes, okay. We will set up a meeting. Let's do that.
Yeah, you
yes, Mr. Chair.
Have coffee or something. Thank you very much.
We will do that.
Lois has a comment.
Councilwoman Cusack.
Thank you so much. Well, I can appreciate this discussion. And just as Councilwoman Denny said, this is about transportation. I'm not sure that I tie this together with getting stops or getting utilization of our transportation system. It seems to me that this is the cost to do this, but as the end result is to provide better and more flexibility in transportation services for the citizens of Volusia County. Am I off point on that?
Yes.
And so I'm not sure we get even close to that with this survey and the costs involved. And so I'm not there. I'm talking about costs.
Okay, cost analysis. The survey is really about the process itself. It's not really about
the process of transportation?
The process of actually designing. The process that includes an analysis of projects as they're coming in for being developed in the community. So, for example, a particular project that's coming into the community for approval by a city or the county might be to actually develop let's say the residences that are going in perhaps at the old hospital location on Sturt House in Ormond Beach. That when that particular project goes in,
City of Ormond Beach contacts VOTRAN and says, look, there's going to be a lot of apartment units going in there. What can be done by the developer to enhance access for those particular individuals that will be making use of transit? And so we looked at the nearest bus stop and said, well, you know, that bus stop is really just a roadside bus stop. It would need improvement because you're going to have all these people walking over there waiting for the bus stop. And so the Ormond Beach recommendation to the developer is to do a shelter at that particular bus stop for their passengers that will be expected to be using transit within the community. So these are the. This is just, you know, a simple example of what is happening right now, but it doesn't always happen right now is what's going on, and people are approaching building departments in different ways, and then the building department says, oh my goodness, I forgot to tell you, you really need to talk to VOTRAN about, you know, there's a stop over there and it's going to block your driveway and so on. So.
And this,
this is about, the questionnaire is really about how are we all working together on this process.
But this has, does not address stops and increase in availability of services.
No, it's the design. And it the way it affects a stop would be, excuse me, I'll just make one last explanation. We can talk afterwards. There are different levels of stops that could be involved. So if it's not going to affect a particular amount of people that are going to be using the stop, we would say, if it's just going to be a car wash that's going to be developed and there's a bus stop there, we're not going to put a bus shelter right at that car wash because people are driving with their car their cars and driving out. So it's all dependent on land use and how it impacts transit on the roadway.
I'm not there, but maybe
we'll
with
talk
costs
after the
and transportation issues and funding, those are the things that I think that we as should be talking and implementing services. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Perrone.
Yeah, my question has to do more with operations probably than planning, but I'm in Ponce Inlet, where everybody is pretty much two or three blocks from a bus stop, and I did work in Port Orange. I could never take the bus to Port Orange because my bus goes up Atlantic Avenue to the transfer station, whereas for it to be convenient for me, I'd want to get off at Dunlawton, cross the street, and take the southbound Atlantic Avenue bus that goes across Dunlawton into the Port Orange shopping centers. Why, I mean, when or why is VOTRAN, when are they going to look at providing transfers where you can go bus-to-bus transfer instead of having to deal with the inconvenience of going to a transfer station?
I think that would be a good point to put into Survey Monkey. And
I just wanted on the question on the record. That's all.
Yeah, okay. That's it. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Move on to Gene Ferguson, FDOT report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Just want to let everybody know that our work on State Road 415 is moving ahead. We should be done with the section of 415 from the Seminole County line to Reed Ellis Road in about 1 year. We're nearing completion for 415 from Reed Ellis north to just north of Acorn Lake Road. Also, the I-4 project, as many of you have noticed, has moved its lanes now over to the other side of the road, and we do anticipate that project being complete in about a year or so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, recognized.
Talk to me, if you would, sir, about this I-4, and I thought it was supposed to be done in this year, 2015, like June of 2015. And it's a long ways from being complete. I mean, traffic right as we speak is backed up on I-4 between the Lake Helen exit and the 1792 exit. It is. I don't know how you're going to get this done. You're saying now it's going to be 2016. It needs to some some teeth in this. It's bad, and I think we have to move in a better speed than what's going on, sir. And that's my message to take back to those that have the power to do something about this.
Okay. Thank you.
For those of us that have to travel over towards Orlando for different meetings, can you briefly go over the I-4 Ultimate project and how that's looking and what that's kind of what that construction and timeline is?
Okay. The I-4 project is really just beginning to get underway. For right now, as I understand it, the majority of the work is going to be taking place near the downtown area because there's so much work they have to do there. But we will be doing work up and down the entire corridor. For right now, the best place to keep track of the project as it's moving ahead is on the website that's been set up for it. And that will keep you informed as they arise of lane closures and so on. For the time being, it's really early in the project for us to be projecting forward completion dates. The targeted date is to be complete in 2021.
Could you send out some information to us? I know it's been going out towards the Orlando area, but maybe Lois on the information for that website so we'll all know how to check that to if we had to head the other direction, please. Because I think it's going to affect a lot of us. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Lois.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson, remaining members. Happy Earth Day. Of course, today's Earth Day. I just wanted to make that clear. We're in the transportation business. There are decisions we can make that are a little more earth-friendly. If you have a chance, maybe, to walk to lunch today instead of take your car, that might be a nice thing. If not, you can always go on and take the Earth Day quiz and find out what your earth animal is. I'm a giant squid.
Thanks for sharing.
At your stations, there is a draft report of the annual retreat that we held this year. The focus of the retreat was to begin the development of a strategic business plan. We got a lot of great information. That process will go on over the course of the next year, really. But again, it's here for your review. You can see, if you weren't able to attend, what the retreat sort of came up with. I think, as Franco Day mentioned, it's going to make me very, very busy. And then, of course, the legislature is still talking about things that they want to do, and I want to just briefly touch on four items that might be worth paying attention to. One is a Senate bill relating to hazardous walk zone conditions and changing how those walk zones and hazardous walk conditions are assessed, identified, and acted upon. So again, that creates some activity and some requirements for the MPO to be involved, as well as for schools and local governments to actually take action to correct some of those issues. So that might be important to you. Wireless communication devices, texting and driving. There's a variety of different bills being sponsored that have different actions. Most of them are trying to elevate that to a primary offense, but some of them go a little farther in what they do or don't allow. So again, that may be of interest to you all. There is a bill that creates penalties. Again, there is a huge emphasis at the state level to try and create improved conditions for people that are riding bicycles or walking. And so it creates criminal penalties for traffic infractions that cause bodily injury and death. If you're driving and you do something that causes injury or death to somebody that's walking or riding, it's elevating the penalties for that and prohibiting passing and turning in front of what we're terming vulnerable users. So again, some interest in protecting some of our more vulnerable road users. And then finally, there has been a Senate bill which is setting aside money for the statewide trail network. And I think the current proposal has about $50 million annually. Some of that is coming from trust fund dollars, and some of that is coming from the new Amendment 1. But $50 million is a pretty significant amount of money for the statewide trails network. That network isn't exactly defined in this bill, but again, that is a potential activity, again, to come back and remind us of the importance of finishing up our regional trails assessment, which should feed into this very, very nicely. That's all I have for everybody today.
All right. Commissioner Matusik.
Question for Lois. Where are we with the connection of the trail to the beach from Edgewater to New Smyrna over to the beach? Is that discussion still ongoing over on the east side? Because, again, and we've got to jump ahead and make that connection, or at least plan for that connection to be the coast-to-coast connector.
There are active conversations, and Commissioner Conroy may be able to shed some more updated information on Edgewater, but my understanding is from the trail is already being constructed to Rotary Park on Park Avenue. There's an alignment that's been identified by the city of Edgewater that runs along some undeveloped property to the north, going all the way to Daytona State College campus that's located on 10th Street. The city of New Smyrna Beach is looking at, but hasn't determined, an alignment from there to existing trail. But that is still in the works, and that's been identified in the trails analysis. I believe that the city of Edgewater has acquired the right-of-way for the trail that they need to build, and they'll be pursuing development of that.
Lee, just to let you know what Lois said. We're waiting for New Smyrna. They're always lagging behind.
Commissioner Ford.
Yeah, I would just like to also update. We've been talking with New Smyrna about a linkage between New Smyrna and Port Orange, and Port Orange is talking about one-waying Halifax Drive to Port Orange and Riverside Drive, which would bring us up not only the Riverwalk but to the Dunwarton Bridge with the bike trail. So it is possible within the near future you'll be able to go from Riverwalk in Port Orange all the way down, and then you'll be also at that point be able to access over the Dunwarton Bridge A1A. So there may be.
And I emphasize this at the technical committee meeting yesterday, where all of you have staff representatives. We're just going through the call for projects right now. We have all 5 years of set-aside funding available to be programmed. So there's a fairly robust amount of money that'll be available for projects. So we want to make sure that our project applications are complete and that our staff and budgets are ready to go ahead and move forward with the projects that are certainly near the top of that list, because they'll probably be in the upcoming fiscal year, which we'll be trying to identify the projects and move them into the work program beginning in July. So again, that's very good news for those of you that are trying to get some things built.
Okay. Board member comments. Anybody have anything? Thank you.
You're welcome. Just one very brief comment. On Page Avenue, I don't think the citizens are still here from New Smyrna Beach. When we did the Make Your Mark meetings in New Smyrna Beach and at the transportation summit that we had, you all need to know Page Avenue, and Commissioner McGurk, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but New Smyrna Beach has identified Page Avenue as number one on the list of projects to be worked on. And we just county just put out a news release, and I believe the city has too. We have called a transportation meeting in New Smyrna Beach with the city, the county, the Ad Authority, and the Chamber of Commerce to discuss those issues. You're going to hear it on 44 in traffic and transportation. We're at gridlock. That's the only word. And it's not just for a couple hours as a citizen suggested a couple hours on 44 and then it's gone. That is not the case. I live out there. We travel the roads. Sometimes it's even during the week. There was actually a situation where beachside traffic was so bad on the causeway in Flagler Avenue, business couldn't be performed. We had to call city commissioner. She called the police officer who opened up a back entranceway onto from a hotel there. Realtors couldn't get out. Transactions didn't occur. Closing business just couldn't happen. So it's a huge issue for New Smyrna. You're going to hear a lot more of it. We're doing what we can. I thank Lois and FDOT and everybody else that's been at the table working with us going forward. We're going to see what we can do collaboratively, but it's not just as simple as you heard earlier on.
Yes, Councilwoman Dennis, I want to reiterate what she just said. Page Avenue Extension has been a long-term project that New Smyrna has been eyeballing. This is very important to us, very important to our community. We do have, anytime you have a new road project like this, and I wouldn't call it a rural area, but an underdeveloped area, you have some people who do live on Page Avenue who are upset about it, and I certainly can't blame them for that. However, the vast majority of people in New Smyrna on the south side of 44 in that neighborhood absolutely love this project and support this project. So, and it's something, yes, it is, as Councilwoman Denny's pointed out, our number one priority right now. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? All right, thank you. With that, Councilwoman Denny's moves, we rise and adjourn, and Commissioner Saylor seconds it. Is there any objection? Without objection, so we are adjourned.